Earlier on today, we discovered that Morris was a podium dancer in a rave club. That did surprise me. It wasn't man-to-man meets man parish type stuff, no, but it was this. I didn't live it. I absolutely missed out on it. The whole rave scene. I was packing my records into my case back in the early 90s and saying, I want to be a weatherman. I don't want to be a DJ. Tony Cochrane, however, was keeping a close eye on it. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Tony, I didn't live the arena or Kelly's or Circus or Mirage, but you're looking for people who did.
We are, yeah. I'm sure you'll explain to the listeners. It's about a project that we've been involved in and now about to start filming, which is a documentary film about those days and specifically about Northern Ireland.
Okay, so you tell us. Tell us what the whole plan is.
What it was back in 91, well, pre-91, I used to run many of the big dance events in Scotland, one of the first events, and also organised tours for record companies and had a good connection with the DJs and the bands. And friends of ours who'd come over from Northern Ireland to the events would say that there's a hunger for some of these bands and DJs to come over, that there was a bit of a fear factor back then for people to come over. So we came over, did a little recce, checked out the places and found that, you know, we found some amazing DJs over there, and the knowledge of the music was as good, if not better, than back home, and great atmosphere in the clubs. So we then created an event called Harmony and came over for about a three-year period and did some big dance events, and we did it right through the country. And
I'd made a fortune, Tony. You must have made a fortune.
Well, there was a couple of pounds made at the time.
I'm not surprised because, like, at the end of the day, you put in a laser light, you put in a DJ, you put in a mix of music, and they come on buses from all over. It was such a raging success. And some of the places here were the likes of the arena, which was at the Drumsill House in Armagh. It was known as the Met. Am I right on that?
That's right, yeah.
Circus was Banbridge.
That's right.
Kelly's, of course, is still there in many ways. It's one of the great survivors. And the other one was Mirage and Enniskillen. I wouldn't have been so familiar with that one had I not have been reading up about it. Was it very successful?
Yeah, I mean, everyone, I don't think it was any one that we went to that was we found less in capacity. There was the first one we did was Frankie's in Rotherhithe, very first event on their first tour. For the Point in Donegal, the House in Larne. It was just this whole dance phenomena at the time, and all the kids at the time had total knowledge of it. They know the music. They were just buying cassettes and tapes and the music from places like the Underground and Belfast. There was more people going to these raves than there were to your standard sort of Sharon and Tracy type clubs. So kind of the whole music scene had flipped about the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, it became just absolutely gigantic. There was also, and there's no getting away from it, there was a scene with it which introduced us to e-tabs and to drug abuse among young people. How concerned were you about that?
Oh, yeah, I mean there was always a concern, the safety concern. But as you say, I suppose there's been a kind of drug culture throughout sort of youth history. You know, you go back to the 60s and the whole acid thing, and it's something it's right up to today, I guess, is that there's drug scenes connected with youth movements. But in those days, it was specific to the dance scene and specific drugs. But, I mean, it was well controlled, and we tried everything in our power, and everybody did, to make sure that it wasn't something that turned into being a problem. I was there, and as I say, we did. There was nothing. There was never any major incidents of any illnesses or anything at the events. Touch wood, you know, and they all seem to go quite smoothly.
Yeah, well, there were a few headline, a few headline tragedies. But at the end of the day, when you consider the thousands who attended raves over that period, maybe of the best part of a decade, it was an amazing experience. And this is something that you want to recreate in this documentary that you're making. Now, you didn't have the advantage of today where everyone was filming every move they made. The mobile phones may be just about to come in. However, you didn't have this digital age that exists in the noughties. So where are you going to get the footage from? Are you hoping the people video and stuff?
Well, there's a mixture of things. One, we did one little kind of road trip ourselves. It was a young filmmaker at the time came along with us and did one trip. We also filmed it when we came over to check the clubs. We filmed that just for our own records to remind ourselves what the clubs looked like. And one of the artists, a lad from a band called the Bassheads, we discovered from a still we found recently, he had a video camera on his shoulder. And we discovered he filmed two of the trips, and also a lad from Scotland came along and filmed four of the events. So we were also the producer Desmond Bell, who did a documentary which was never aired but was well known in Ireland called Dancing on Narrow Ground. Desmond's on board with this project and bringing all his all the rushes from his film as well, so we've got access to all that as well. And we have about 2,000 photographs between us all that we've discovered. So there's quite a rich source of material.
Are you putting out a call to people who may have artifacts?
Yeah, we definitely. If anybody can look through their old photographs and find stuff of their friends and themselves who went to not just the Harmony, but there were so many great clubs, as you said, back then, who were all doing their own thing. I mean, it would be great if they could, and they could get in touch with ourselves, and what we could do, we could maybe, if you don't mind, give you a contact, and if people look at that, we've all, you know, through yourselves, or we'll give a contact of some sort where they could get in touch with us. We have a Facebook page, Dance, Peace and Harmony.
Dance, Peace and Harmony on Facebook. That'd be a good way for them to go. Dance, Peace and Harmony.
Yeah, and then they could look at the photographs they already have, and maybe they could recognise some of their friends and tell us who they are and so on.
What age would the main bulk of the people be? I was speaking to a young colleague this morning. She would be about 29, and she said, I think I might have been slightly underage when I went to my first rave. You'd be in your 30s, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking 20 years, kind of, roughly, from when those events were. So probably somebody who was then about 18. So, yeah, you're sort of like late 30s, 40.
Yeah. So if that is you, if you enjoyed all the raves of Northern Ireland, and indeed maybe it was an odd night when you had your video camera with you, you might have been taking some snaps, or indeed you just might have some gems, go to that Facebook page and talk to the likes of Tony and the guys. Will it be a television documentary? Will it actually make, is there a guarantee of it being on a screen in the near future?
I have a connection with a company in Los Angeles. I have a small partnership. We do the movie awards, TV awards, the Grammys, etc. And through that, we've some of our contacts are helping to hopefully have the film shown in the States. And David Arquette, the actor, is also involved in a kind of co-production.
Tony, I love the way you undersell yourself. You know what I mean? Just when I say about how successful were you, and then you say, well, I have contacts here and we're involved in A, B, C and D. It just reminds me of how you saw a scene happen and how you made it a success. And I'm not surprised that you are, you know, seeing the opportunity now for nostalgia. I never thought rave would be part of nostalgia. I always thought it was the present or the future. But it now is nostalgia, isn't it?
Well, in the 90s are the big thing at the moment. You know, the whole 90s things kind of is the big nostalgia. We're also doing a reunion, which is being filmed at Kelly's in Port Rush on the 1st of August. We have a whole bunch of artists coming from Italy, Germany and the and England.
Are you aiming this? Are you aiming this at people in their late 30s and 40s, or is this a gig for younger people?
Well, this is, it's being filmed, and we're bringing a lot of the people back. It is a reunion, but I'm sure the music is as relevant today as it was back then. So we're hoping that it'll be a mixture of the new youth and the old ones just coming along to enjoy the night, and also tell the stories on the night as well. We'll be filming.
Yeah, it is relevant. But if you said to a kid now, you know, I'm going to a rave, they would say, you know, that's as bad as seeing a disco. You know, it has so moved on, hasn't it? However, it has influenced today's music.
Oh, big time in the States. The whole EDM thing is the biggest style of music in America, and that is all based on what we would have called back then the kind of the rave music. But it's very, very, it's huge at the moment.
Tony, it is good speaking to you. Remind me again of your Facebook page.
It's Dance, Peace and Harmony.
Dance, Peace and Harmony. If you want to buy into it and maybe you want to relive it, go to Dance, Peace and Harmony. And Kelly's Portrush, no doubt, the start of August, the place to be if you want to relive it too. Tony, good speaking to you, fella. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.